activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast. Brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This Earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Thursday, August 29th, 2013. Welcome to another totally tubular Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 80. It's almost a landmark, right? We're 20 away from 100.
We are.
Have we talked about what we're going to do for the 100th episode? Are we going to do something special?
We haven't talked about that. I don't think we've even thought about it.
We should get the discussion going now. It's 20 episodes away, people. Come on.
Let's have a party.
Wait a second. You know what? I redid my soundboards and I don't have that on there anymore.
What?
I do have.
My heart is broken.
Okay. Before we continue with the intro here, we have to introduce three new things to the soundboard. We have the sensor beep. We have Brad from last week.
Yeah.
And then something that I found when I was editing the podcast from last week on Sunday, I found an EVP. I forget what that stands for. You guys know what that stands for?
Electronic
voice projection.
Okay. Okay.
Vocal something.
Voice phenomenon.
Okay. All right.
Voice projection.
So this is very short. You have to listen very carefully. But it's somebody or something saying something. So here we go. Can hardly tell.
I heard crickets.
You can hardly tell. Yeah. You can hear Brad's crickets better than the actual EVP itself. One more time. All right. Hang on. Shh. I swear to God it's somebody saying something. I'm not lying. And I've done a ton
of... Sounds like a little chunk of a conveyor belt sound.
Well, I had boosted the level, so maybe that made it sound that way. But I swear to God, I've done a ton of video or audio editing in my life, and I've never heard that before. So,
surprise!
Yeah. So my place is obviously, or one of our places is haunted. Not necessarily mine.
That's true.
Okay. All right. Let's get into this. From Waterloo, I haven't done the intros yet.
Who are we? And
okay.
Where are we?
Let me answer that question. From Waterloo, Iowa, I'm Dave Asimov Nelson. Joining me this evening from Wausau, Wisconsin is Brad Vonnegut Ludwig and Anessa Le Guin Moines from Denton, Texas. How are you guys doing?
Doing
excellent.
Good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. This is the show where we talk about aliens.
Wait, are we going to explain what
Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, obviously, they're authors because I'm Asimov, Isaac Asimov. And Kurt Vonnegut is also, Vonnegut is Kurt Vonnegut, a writer, right?
Yes.
The last one, I don't know who that is.
Ursula K. Le Guin, and she has written a lot of sci-fi and fantasy novels, award-winning.
Okay. All right.
She did the Earthsea series, which is what she's really kind of known for.
Oh, yeah. I know that
cool.
series. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good job on the names, Brad.
I win!
It's usually Anessa doing them.
I won the podcast. I'm out.
All right.
No, okay, kidding. Do the show without him.
Yeah. He sucks. Yeah. Don't pass to him.
All right, let's get on with it here. This is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and in real life. Anywhere they could possibly be, we talk about them. And the show is sectioned off into three areas, or departments, we could say. The news, the creature feature, that is the spotlight of a certain kind of alien. It could be an alien from a TV show or movie, or like the ones that people claim to see, or they're known through time. And our picks for the week, and for the audio subscribers, if you'd like to watch us live, you have two options, all right? You can watch us actually do the show live, and that's at galacticnetcasts.com/live, or you can watch us after the fact at youtube.com/galacticnetcasts. So Don't forget to follow us on our social networks as well, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. So, are you two ready to go?
Yes.
Having a clue.
Okay.
In the news.
I have a short in the cord. Weird. Okay. So, Brad, you got the first story.
Yes. Jonathan Glazer's Alien Horror in festival lineup.
Alien Horror?
Horror.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's an Alien Horror.
Mm-hmm. It's got great rates. And I actually believe this is a story that you guys talked about last year in May.
Yes. Yes, we
I
did.
Wasn't here for that episode.
But it's okay. It's good to get an update on the situation.
Yeah, because this has really kind of been in development limbo for a while. The film that we're speaking about is Under the Skin. It's going to have its world premiere at the Venice Film Festival September 3rd. So, boy, just next week. And it will represent the end of a tortured wait, both for its acclaimed director, Jonathan Glazer.
That's my torture.
If you
really need to take care of that before you start the podcast. Do we have to pull this podcast over so that you can use the facilities, Dave?
Okay.
No.
I was carrying toilet paper with me just in case.
That was my acting. I was being tortured.
All right then. Okay. And for the dedicated cinema goers who have been waiting patiently. Speculation about Under the Skin has remained intense ever since it missed its planned 2012 release. See, I always am, and I'm stopping the story here, because Gravity has been it was done over a year ago too, and they kind of held off on releasing it. Now it's finally out in theaters, so I don't think that that's really necessarily a big deal.
No.
But anyways, an announcement that Scarlett Johansson, has remained intense ever since it missed its oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you skipped a line.
I did skip a line. Johansson has been had been cast, followed the American Film Market sales convention in November 2010. Shooting got underway in October of 2011. So 11 months after it was announced. Nothing concrete has yet emerged other than a few stills of Johansson and an unheralded 2-minute taster preview at Film 4-sponsored horror festival Fright Fest last month. And you can tell that this is obviously a British article because it's listed under here, typical reaction, it looked bloody ace.
And you said taster.
It was actually somebody's tweet.
Yeah, it's taster well. Instead of teaser.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
But they actually have like little things that you lick it. This movie tastes pretty good.
It tastes like an alien movie.
Tastes like Cadbury. Anyways. It's so good.
From what I remember, of this story, we had a picture attached to it, a very
yes.
sexy looking Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, actually.
And her fur coat and
yeah.
bob cut. I yeah. guess they call it a pixie cut somewhere, but it looks more like...
Yeah, so here is... I don't know who this schmo is. If you're watching the video portion of the show, here is Scarlett Johansson in very dark black hair, lipstick on, and she's wearing a fur coat of some sort. And she's sitting on the wrong side of the car, a.k.a. she's in a British automobile. and that's what we're seeing there. So,
do we know anything of the plot?
It's actually based on a book, this movie is. And it is, besides this alien eating people, we don't really know much about it unless you've actually read the book.
Okay.
Which I have not.
Okay.
So.
And I'm guessing that Scarlett Johansson is the alien?
Yes.
Abducting hitchhikers for food. That's good.
Om nom nom.
I'm hungry. I'm going to go get a ride. I'll be back. Looks like Brad is doing research.
The plot of the book: an extraterrestrial sent to Earth by a rich corporation on her planet to pick up unwary hitchhikers. She drugs them and delivers them to her compatriots, who mutilate and fatten her victims so that they can be turned into meat. Human flesh is a delicacy on the aliens' barren homeworld. The novel is darkly satirical. It touches on political themes around big business, intensive farming, and environmental decay, and reflects on more personal questions of sexual identity, humanity, snobbery, and mercy.
Yes.
I need to put on my I need the monocle.
Sounds very interesting. This sounds like something that I'd want to go see.
See, now I too am pretentious.
Yep, if you're watching the video, Brad actually has a monocle on.
I just put my monocle on. Now I'm pretentious.
That's all it takes is a monocle.
Monocle.
I feel like I need to get a monocle.
We need to bring monocles back as a trendy thing.
Okay.
Or not. Moving on.
Filmmakers have been at pains to stress the delay does not mean a troubled production, especially after it emerged that Johansson and Glazer were reshooting scenes in October 2012. The producer, Jim Wilson, told The Observer, "Jonathan really wanted to get certain elements of this story right. He wanted to get across the way that an alien might look at our culture rather than like we look at animals, and it took time to work this out."
All right.
Boy, I really need to read these stories before you do this show, because my reading has been just poor.
We have yet to get to my story, and I have not read it at all. So,
This is adapted from the 2000 novel, which we just talked about a second ago, by the Dutch-Scots writer Michael Faber. Stars Scarlett Johansson as an alien being abducting hitchhikers for food. No word as to if and when it will be released in theaters. So it's just going to get its premiere at the Italian Film Festival, but that doesn't mean that it's slated to
I hadn't really heard anything about when it's coming to theaters on a larger scale. I'm guessing that if it does end up in theaters, it'll be a select few.
And let's hope it's maybe released in the winter, you know, or early spring before the summer blockbuster season starts, because it could get buried amongst the bigger films.
Yeah, the only problem with the winter is you have like the movies that come out geared towards the holidays, so you have larger names then. It would have to compete with the other Hobbit movie.
Yeah, there's a dead period, though.
I don't know what else is coming out.
There's a dead period, though, like after Christmas, before spring. So
yeah, that's true.
Maybe that zone would
post-Christmas
be...
Post-Christmas.
Yeah.
Is when it should come out.
So are you listening? So Glazer, if you're listening, next winter would be good. Be awesome. Early 2014.
All right. January, be awesome.
All right, let's move on real quick. Brad left us for a moment, but we can continue on.
I'm back.
All right. We'd love your feedback on the stories that we have covered tonight or anything else. If you think Brad's monocle is awesome looking, let us know. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com is the email address. You can use your voice to reach out. On our voicemail number, 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. That number can also be used as a text. Send us a text message or go to the forums at galacticnetcast.com/community. Explain what are you doing there, Brad? What do you got in your face?
This is a pince-nez. Spectacles that pinch onto your nose.
Okay. Talk.
They don't.
Talk once.
Huh? It doesn't. Well. yeah. It does make you sound a little nasally, okay. but if you get it up a little higher on the nose, so it's more on the bone, as it were.
You look 100.
That's what she said. Bully. Bully.
You look much more sophisticated and smart.
Bully.
All right. So, on with the news here. Alien head discovered by workers digging in Croatian graveyard. What the heck? What the what? An alien head has been discovered in a Croatian graveyard. Workers made the freaky discovery while digging the soil at the cemetery in the northern region of a name or word I can't pronounce.
Međimurje? Međimurje? I don't know.
Međimurje.
Sounds good to me. Međimurje.
Međimurje head.
Sounds fine. Local mayor Ivan Stefic told Croatian newspaper 24 Sata that the head smells of male perfume.
It smells like cologne.
It smells like Axe. Ah, Phoenix.
Mm. Let's see. Male perfume, and he has asked how scientists... He's asked scientists to examine it. It was found about 1 meter under the surface and gave workers quite the shock, he said. I know it sounds crazy, but we can't think of any more rational explanation for what we found. Locals say the head is made from a material similar to soft rubber and has a beak-like mouth. So this could be an actual, like, mask, right? It looks like it could be one, right?
It looks like a root or something.
Yeah,
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Like a root.
Root. Let's see, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's what the story says. Some people think it looks like a strangely shaped tree root. So there you go.
We have a tornado watch right now until 2 in the morning.
Oh, yay. Wow. Yay.
Good times.
Let's see. One doubter said, wait, a buried alien head is a rational explanation? It's ridiculous. This looks like an oddly shaped tree part. The bark could have been soft from the burial. Wood should be easy to discern from substances like rock and bone. So I'm sure that once they get this examined, they'll know right away what substance it is and what actually it is. I think they're right. I think it is a tree root.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Wood. All right.
I think they have too much time on their hands in Croatia.
Maybe. They're just really looking for tourist attractions.
Yes. See? That's logical.
Put the alien head on display.
Yeah. Let's make a museum of the great...
I need to say that again. I think that they're looking for tourist attractions in Croatia. Does that sound more intelligent with the pince-nez on?
So, Brad, what's your name with those on? Do you go into a different character and you have a different name?
Sir Pompous the Third? I got nothing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I feel it would work really well with your old man voice.
Yeah, bring it on, Ludwig. Let's hear it.
Back in my day, we didn't have your fancy spectacles you have now, you kids in your Oakleys. We had pince-nez.
Ah, you're killing me, Ludwig. You're killing me.
If it was good enough for Teddy Theodore Roosevelt, then it was good enough for me.
Is that what he did he wear those?
I think so, yes.
All right. Do you guys want to continue talking about aliens or
Well, perhaps aliens would enjoy wearing pince-nez.
Yes.
Yeah,
there's not a whole lot else to say about this story. I think we all agree it looks like a tree root.
I think so.
Yeah.
Here you go. There's Teddy Roosevelt wearing his pince-nez.
But he had a wire on his. Oh. Okay.
That's the chain hanging down.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it goes way up high on the nose, doesn't it?
Yeah. We should definitely bring that fashion statement back. Definitely.
No.
I'm going to get tired of wearing it on my nose. I get tired of my glasses on my nose. I can't imagine something actually pinching.
Well, it was made for, like, short-term wear.
So maybe, like, reading?
Yeah, reading or looking pompous for short periods of time. Yeah.
It serves two purposes that way.
Bully!
rhubarb.
All right, let's move on.
You know
on.
What? Instead of us talking about Theodore Roosevelt and his pince-nez, you know what we really want to hear about? What our listeners have to say about the stories and things that we do on the show.
And I just did that while you were coming back to kill time. So
really?
Yes, but we can't say this enough, right? The voicemail number, if you think that we should bring back, what are those called again?
Pinch-nays.
Let's bring back
pinch-nays.
Am I not saying it right?
I'm hearing pinch.
Pinch.
Pincer.
Pince-nays. Okay, pince-nays.
Pince, yeah.
If you think we should bring back the pince-nays, let us know. Call the voicemail number 805-328-3966 or email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. All right. We've got one third and final story to do in the news, and Anessa, it's all yours.
Woo! So, on from pince-nez to alien gargoyle-looking thing on a 13th century abbey-inspired... it's on a 13th century abbey. So, there's this 13th century Scottish abbey. Excuse me. And, of course, this abbey has gargoyles around it. And one of these gargoyles resembles the alien... xenomorph from Aliens. Like cool. The one that pops out of the chest.
Yes. Oh, I gotta see this.
That's what it looks like.
I gotta see this. My God, that is awesome.
Yeah, the Paisley Abbey was originally founded in 1245 and rebuilt in the early 1300s. And the recent discovery of an alien-like gargoyle has inspired considerable media speculation and the sculptor's extraterrestrial influences. However, following the pictures of the alien gargoyle appearing online and in news reports, it has been revealed that the abbey has had some renovations in the 1990s, which included many of the original gargoyles being replaced. Minister of Paisley Abbey, the Reverend Alien Burse, suspects that one of the stonemasons involved in the renovation may have been having fun.
Hang on, what is his name?
Who?
The Reverend.
Reverend Alan Burse?
I swear to God, you just said Alien Burse. Or Alien Burse. Brad, did you
I heard Alien.
Yeah,
you might have said Alien.
You said Alien Burse.
His name's Alan.
Okay.
That was my bad, but... Yes, so Reverend Burse thinks that someone was just having a bit of fun because apparently the majority of the original gargoyles on the abbey had already fallen apart, and there was one that they managed to keep, and it's really creepy looking. It's got, like, big bug eyes. There's a video that goes along with this story with the Reverend actually talking about it, and they show the different gargoyles through... or around the abbey. So
who's to say that gargoyles weren't inspired by aliens way back in the day?
It's very possible. You never know. You might have had some masons that came in contact with aliens and thought, hey, this seems like a good thing to stick on an abbey to keep away the evil spirits and drain the water from the roof.
So what
all my purpose.
So what the hell is a gargoyle anyways? I mean, are they based on something real? Or are they? I'd like to see the definition or the history of gargoyles.
My understanding of gargoyles is they're creatures that keep evil spirits out of the building.
Okay.
Like, they're supposed to scare away evil spirits.
Okay.
And I know some places actually use them as a way to have the water run off the roof and out of their mouths when it rains. So...
Yeah, could you imagine this alien, and if you're seeing my screen right now, if you're checking out the video cast, to see the alien shooting water out of its mouth like it shot acid out of its mouth in the Alien film. I mean, that would just be so freakish.
That really would.
No, that is really inspired by that, by the alien from Aliens. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a Giger inspiration.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting, and I have a true story, and this is going to take a
true
moment or
story.
Two. Not too long.
Sorry.
Yep. Old man story. Pull up a chair, kids. A friend of mine went to University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and he was in the program, the communications program, with a guy who was a stonemason by trade but wanted to get out of the stonemason life and actually do something in communications. So he would, once a year, bid out a contract to do some sculpture. He was an exceptional sculptor. And he would bid a job out, and that money that he would get from doing the sculpture work and the installation would pay for living expenses for the next year of school. So obviously he was a non-trad, you know, he was in his mid to late 30s, I believe, at the time that this story took place. There was a church in Minnesota, a cathedral, and they were commissioning different Virgin Marys to have in, I believe that they were done inside the building. Or no, they were done outside but up higher on the building. So they had different sculptors do their interpretation of the Virgin Mary, right? So this particular gentleman, I won't give his name or anything, won the bid, got the contract, did the work, and because he was going to be installing this piece, knew that he could get away with some shenanigans that nobody would really know about except for him. He does the sculpture, and it is a very beautiful Virgin Mary. But if you were to look at the back of the Virgin Mary, the back of her long dress actually cuts up the back, and he put fishnet stockings on the Virgin Mary.
That is awesome.
So in 150 years, 200 years, when they, you know, have to redo these sculptures or maybe reset them, you know, cement them back into place, somebody's going to find this Virgin Mary with the fishnet stockings.
Oh, so it's not in view. You'd have to take it off.
No, it cannot be seen from the ground. You have to actually get up. It's actually set into an alcove up higher.
Okay.
So, I mean, you have to get the thing has to be removed from its mount in the alcove for you to actually see this. Okay. Or I'm sure if you could get a mirror set up, you could see that. But you'd look really creepy with mirrors under the skirt of the Virgin Mary. So I have a feeling that you'd just be better off pulling it out of the alcove.
That's a freaky one, Anessa.
I believe this is the original gargoyle.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but...
Bug-eyed.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just really creepy.
Yeah, that's stuff of nightmares right there.
So.
Thanks, Anessa. I'll be dreaming about that tonight.
You're welcome.
All right, let's move on to... before we move on to the creature feature, speaking of creatures... let's thank our first sponsor of the show, Audible.com. For you, our loyal, awesome listeners, we are giving you a great deal with Audible.com. A free 30-day trial. I said 30-day trial to give you the...
30?
30. Dirty 30. To give you the opportunity to check out their service. And keeping the theme of this podcast, may we suggest Mammoth Book Presents Aliens and Extraterrestrials. So basically, this is a book about... It covers the whole genre. It basically, for example, it takes Area 51 and kind of breaks that down, gives the history, explains the whole deal behind Area 51. So it talks about that. It talks about the Babylonian Brotherhood, 12-foot lizards from the planet Draco, who we've talked about before, that colonized Earth and seek world domination. Majestic 12, which we've never talked about, which I would love to talk about sometime. Evidence found about a group of military officials, scientists, and intelligence officials set up in 1962 to study alien technology. And the Rendlesham Forest incident. So these are just a few of the many things they cover.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this is just a few of the many things they cover in this book. It's basically a nonfiction book. Well, quote-unquote nonfiction book about aliens and extraterrestrials. So if you're interested, check it out. It's on Audible, and you can get it for free with your 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. Go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Again, that's audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts for your free audio book from audible.com. Let's continue the show.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
All right, Anessa, what do you got this week? This sounds interesting.
I have the Wirren. It's from an episode of Doctor Who.
Who?
Doctor Who.
Who?
Doctor Who.
Who? Who?
Okay, enough. Okay.
Were you an owl?
Like Doctor Who. Who? So yes, the Wirren. Just think really large insect creature. They were roughly the height of humans. And they look like a really big bug is essentially what they are. They have long floppy antennas. They have three small mandibles, and then they have larger mandibles that they speak through, which when they speak to each other, they squeak. That's how they communicate. They appeared in the episode of The Ark in Space, which was during the Fourth Doctor's run, so Tom Baker era. And I lost my train of thought. So yeah, they were a really interesting character. Or alien, I guess, because the episode in which they appeared, and spoiler alert, that's my pick, they appear in the Ark in Space, and essentially the larva infects a host, and then it eats the host, and basically absorbs all of its knowledge and memories. So as it reproduces, it keeps gaining knowledge that it passes on to the generations. And during the larval stage, it's basically this blanket or something covered in bubble wrap and spray painted green that like inches along the ground.
And leaves a slime trail too, doesn't it?
Yes, it leaves a slime trail.
You gotta love early, cheap, low budget Doctor Who.
You really do. I would have loved to have worked on this set and just try to come up with different ideas for creatures and set props and effects and stuff. That would have been a lot of fun. So yeah. Now the insect thing, the Wirren, could actually survive in space for a number of years without oxygen because it recycles its crap. And it converts the carbon dioxide from its crap into oxygen, and then it, I guess, exhales carbon dioxide. It just goes through this cycle, apparently. And then it has to enter gravity and arrive on a planet, which how it survives reentry, I have no idea, without burning up. But it goes to a planet to actually breed. It finds its hosts, and it breeds, and then it moves on to other planets or whatever. So, yeah, it's actually really interesting. And they're from the Andromeda Galaxy is where they came from, but they lost their home because of humans, and so they've just been traveling out in space. They came across this Ark and thought, hey, let's check it out. And they found hosts. And during the episodes, they're basically trying to find or trying to reproduce so they can create more of their kind.
That was going to be my question, was were they the evil? Were they the enemy in this particular episode?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Giant bug in Doctor Who, probably.
Okay. All right. Wasn't quite sure.
Not necessarily. I mean, you never know, but in this episode, yes.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. They did have a weakness. and that weakness was electricity.
Show tunes.
That was my
Jazz
answer,
hands.
Brad.
That's all the doctor had to do was like, jazz hands. And off they went.
Boom. I'm sorry, what was their weakness?
Do we have a picture?
Electricity.
Do we have a picture of these guys?
Bug Zapper.
We should. If I had thought ahead of time.
Okay, I've got a picture, but I'm terrible with the screen capture thing, so.
Okay, so here we go. Screen share. Bam. We've got. Actually, this particular Wirin was one of the humans on this arc that ended up getting turned into a Wirin. So.
How do they communicate with. I'm on Brad's screen.
Sorry.
How do they communicate with
humans?
There we go.
Do they communicate with humans at all?
That's the thing, is they gain the knowledge of the host. And so the host was human. And so it was able to communicate with humans by speaking English.
Oh.
Otherwise, their species just makes squeaky noises at each other.
So they have to first digest a human in order to learn the language.
Right. Well, not necessarily, because whenever, and Brad has a picture of Noah actually turning into a Wirin before he goes into the...
With the green
the
bubble wrap on him. Yeah.
Thing.
That's classic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is very awesome. So yeah, at that point, they're basically sharing knowledge, and so the Wirin actually takes over. It's like this inner struggle for Noah to keep his consciousness active and going and fighting the Wirin. And then the Wirin kind of take over. So they have knowledge of what the other one knows. And there's one point, I'm just talking about my pick at this point. But yeah, so that's how they learn English is.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm just going to stop because I'm gonna not going to have anything to talk about.
More later. More later from Vanessa. All right.
So yes, there's a picture of the Wirin on the screen. It's got like big bug eyes and mandibles and weird leg. I don't know what those are. I guess they're supposed to be legs, but they don't really move a whole lot. They just kind of flop around.
Okay, well, it's 1970s,
yeah.
And it's a low-budget TV show. So.
Well, I mean, I would have figured they'd at least have arms or something using the actor's arms. Or maybe like a puppet.
No, because that would just look weird.
So yeah. I don't know if there are any other... Oh, here's a picture of the larva thing.
By the way, if you want to see these, go to youtube.com/galacticnetcasts to watch. If you're listening right now, if you want to see it, watch our show on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. Okay, continue, Vanessa, sorry.
Yeah, and so here we have, like I mentioned earlier, like the big larva thing wrapped in bubble wrap and spray-painted green. And it inches along. Think of like an inchworm, the way it humps its back and then stretches out.
Humps?
I'm really bad with describing
humps
things, but
it's back.
Brad, so that's okay. It humps its back. Arches its back.
Yeah. I'll teach you.
So, yeah, there you go.
We're in love.
Bam.
We're in love.
I think that's a show title.
That's a show title. We're in love. Okay. Hang on. You guys continue talking. I got to put that at the top before I forget it.
Oh, goodness.
No, good, great pick, Vanessa. Good job. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Kudos to you.
Boy.
Yeah, I was trying to think of an alien species, and then for some reason this episode just popped in my head, and I was like, oh yeah, I wonder what that alien was called. And it just kind of went from there. Yeah. I ended up rewatching the episodes because I didn't remember a whole lot.
And thus, your pick is born.
Yes.
All right, let's move on. That was the creature feature. You can listen to all of the Galactic Netcast shows. All of them. Yeah, all of them, meaning two right now. We only have two in current rotation. But you can listen to all of them on Stitcher Start. Stitcher Start. Stitcher. Stitcher Smart Radio. It's been a long day. On your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry phones for now, Android tablets, and the Nook. Stitcher Smart Radio for your phone. You can find it in your App Store. Or our preferred method is to go, what's wrong with me? I just said method. Stitcher preferred method. Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts and then enter the code GalacticNetcasts. Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts and enter the promo code GalacticNetcasts. And great thing about Stitcher, if you don't want to take up room on your device, you can always just stream the shows as long as you have an internet connection. And they've got that cool smart station feature. It kind of looks at what you've already subscribed to and makes recommendations of similar shows. So that is Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher Smart Radio. Somebody save me. Brad.
Stitcher Smart Radio.
Brad.
The smarter way to listen to radio.
Okay. Thank you. God. Jeez. All right. Let's move on. Picks time. Do you want to just segue into your pick and Esther?
Yes, actually, since I'm apparently the first one.
All right.
So continuing with the Wirin theme, which is actually spelled W-I-R-R-N, so I had to make a little note for myself on how to actually pronounce it. So the episode that I chose was The Ark in Space. It is in the 12th season of Doctor Who, and it aired in 4 weekly parts from January 25th to February 15th, 1975. It had the Doctor, of course, Tom Baker, the fourth Doctor, and his companions then were Sarah Jane Smith and Harry Sullivan. So they were supposed to be going to, I believe, the moon is the destination, but they ended up in this ark. And they ended up discovering that there were these people in a cryogenic stasis. And when they first arrived on the ship, though, there wasn't any power, and so there was very little oxygen, so they had to fix that first. And then they discovered the people, and then they discovered that there were weird bubble wrap larvae running around.
Okay, why were the people put on this ark? Where'd they come from originally?
Magic? Actually, no. A lot of the humans left Earth in different missions, one of them being the people that went out to the Andromeda Galaxy,
okay,
which caused the Wirin to end up leaving their home and coming and taking over the Ark.
Okay.
The humans that went to the Ark were going to stay in this cryogenic stasis for a set amount of time, and then they were going to basically reanimate, come back to life, thaw, whatever you want to call it. And the reason why they left Earth was because there's supposed to be these really huge solar flares that would have killed a whole bunch of stuff. But while they were in stasis, the Wirin ended up arriving to the Ark, and the security system actually was this thing that would come down from the ceiling and shoot out little bolts of electricity, and the Wirin didn't like it. So the Queen actually cut the power lines before she died, and the larva inside of her ended up surviving and ended up managing to get a hold of one of the humans in their chamber and basically took over that host. And then the Doctor arrives, and then they end up waking up a few more people and having to battle these creatures, which the leader of the ship, Noah, I actually forget his name,
the
but Noah was a
the
nickname.
Ship.
So yeah, anyway, like, this slime gets on to Noah on his hand, and that's how he becomes infected and starts turning into one of the Wirin. And the episode is basically just trying to figure out a way to get rid of the Wirin, get them off the ship before they actually feed off of all the other humans that are on this arc. So,
question.
Yes.
Once you get any bit of the Wirin on you, can you get it off and be fine? Or does it, once it's on, you're screwed?
I got the impression that once it's on, you're screwed. Because he ended up getting a good size smear on his hand and then he passed out. So I don't know if that had anything to do with what's inside the goo that knocks people out long enough for the Wirin to start take hold.
Okay.
Or if he just had a case of the vapors and passed out because he thought it was gross. I've got the vapors.
Oh my God.
So I'm not entirely sure, they didn't really explain it, but he was really the only one that was touched by the goo that I recall. Well, besides him and one other person that wasn't really a character for very long anyway. So, yeah, it was entertaining. Cheesy costumes. You had the outer walkway that had windows to space. And unfortunately, space ran out of stars in the bottom and the last two panels.
Oh, that's great.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah.
So I recommend giving it a watch. It was a fun episode. It's four episodes, but they're all about 25 minutes each, so
okay.
Less than a couple hours to watch them.
And we will have the link on the store page at Galactic Netcasts. And once you click on it, it'll go to Pix, and you click on Pix, and you're good to go. And you can buy those episodes through Amazon and help our network out. Give us a little bit of, you know, little show us some love and be entertained at the same time, all right?
Yes, if you love cheesy, then you should watch the old Doctor Who.
Who's looking forward to that biopic about the making of Doctor Who? You guys excited about that?
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. What's it called? Something Space and Time? I forget.
I don't remember.
Brad, to the internets. Go. All right. As he's Googling, let's move on to my pick. I decided to watch a Twilight Zone episode. Have you guys ever seen the one called Will the Real Martian Please Stand Up?
I don't believe I have.
Okay. All right. Let me...
An Adventure in Time and Space.
Okay. Thank you. An Adventure in Time and Space. Cool. And that's going to air about the same time as the 50th anniversary. I'm thinking it's around the same week.
Yes.
Sweet.
So my pick is Twilight Zone. Will the Real Martian Please Stand Up? It aired in 1963, I believe. And this is crazy. It says season 2, episode 28, but they had weird seasons. And I don't know why it's listed that way, but it's like, the first episode was like 1955, and this is like 1963. So, if we had the seasons like they had the seasons, we'd be like in season 2 of Doctor Who, you know. So, this is the synopsis of the episode. After an anonymous phone call about a spacecraft that crashed in a frozen wood, two police officers find evidence that the event really happened. Apparently, one alien had walked away from the spot. So they basically drive to this cafe that's nearby, and this bus had stopped to let the passengers get out and have lunch or whatever. So the police officers go inside, and they ask the bus driver how many people were on board. And he says, like, 12, or I forget the number exactly. And there's 13 people there. So they spend the rest of the time trying to figure out who the alien is. And you know how that goes. One person accuses somebody else, and then weird things start happening. Like the power goes out, the jukebox comes on, and there's a very interesting twist ending to it, as is always the case with Twilight Zone episodes. So I highly recommend it if you like. I mean, who doesn't like Twilight Zone episodes? Do you like? Are you a fan of Twilight Zone, Nessa?
Yes.
Okay. What's your favorite one?
It's been a really long time since I've watched them. I kind of watch them sporadically, so I don't know that I have a favorite one just yet. I do enjoy watching them.
We talked about To Serve Man on this podcast, I believe, way back in the day.
Yes, we did. And I actually thought about reading the short story at some point. That it was based off of.
Okay, I didn't know it was based on a short story. Interesting.
Yeah, I want to say it's a short story that it was based off of. And because I hadn't seen To Serve Man, and I came across a short story, and I decided to do a search to see if anyone had done it as a pick, but then I saw you did the episode, so.
Okay. No, it's Twilight Zone's great for, it's kind of like my go-to. Like, if there's not a movie that I watch this week or nothing else, I will just turn on Netflix and go to a Twilight Zone episode, because there's a bunch of Alien episodes. And one of my favorite ones is the, I don't know if it's Aliens necessarily, maybe you guys know the answer, but the girl that's wrapped up, like she had plastic surgery done, and she takes off.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the one with the people in the nose?
Yeah,
yes.
They're pig noses.
I don't think it was Aliens, was it?
No.
Okay.
I think it's just she woke up and everyone thought she was ugly.
No, the story was, and you don't really... Eye of the Beholder was the name of the episode from 1960. The way the episode is structured, you find out that at the end that everybody else on the planet looks like these pig-nosed, deformed beings, and she's has an affliction where she is what we would consider beautiful. And she does not want to be beautiful. She wants to look like everyone else.
Okay.
So she has the surgery. By the time we see this episode, I think this is her second surgery, and it doesn't take again.
Okay. So these guys could be aliens. I mean, they never say it, but if they all look like pigs, if they all have pig noses, obviously they're not humans, right?
Well, it wasn't so much pig noses. They were just like turned up, I guess.
Yeah.
And they had like the cheeks kind of sagging, and
so they,
it was just really weird.
Yeah, they look like this.
Okay.
So they have the extended, like the eyebrows that kind of come out, you know, kind of like a Neanderthal. They've got kind of the eyebrow ridge, and then they've got the very wide nose that's kind of pushed up and back, which kind of makes it look porcine. $5 word. You're welcome. And then, their cheeks are kind of jowly and sagging, and their upper lip kind of sticks out, but it's sort of twisted up and points up towards the nose on one side. So,
all right.
Porcine, huh? Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, I'm not impressed at all.
What?
I'm kidding. That was very good. Very good, Brad. But yeah, if you like a short alien story and lots of 1960s cheese, I'd highly recommend episode 28 of season 2 of Twilight Zone with Will the Real Martian Please Stand Up. It's good. I think you'll like it.
Sweet.
All right, final pick of the night is Bradley's.
I went with a 1994 card game. Now this card game is Star Trek The Next Generation customizable card game.
Oh, cool.
Think of Magic the Gathering but with cards, right? So in your deck you need to have at least a ship. You have a number of ships. Your goal is to make stuff happen and to wipe out the other person, essentially. So you've got different cards that do different things. You have events that you can lay on other people. Like here's an example of a card. So it's an event. There's a description of what you do, and then kind of a reference to what it came from in Star Trek, The Next Generation.
You said this was from 1994?
Yeah, the company that had this, had the rights to this, was Decipher Inc. And they ended up putting out two editions. and an expansion or two, if I recall. But the cool thing about it is you could, in your and you would get packs. You get packs of cards where you could get different ships. So, like, you could get the Enterprise, and each ship had a point value.
Mm-hmm.
And each ship could do different things, gave you a different range, different amount of shields so you could withstand attacks. You had different crew members that you could have on there that could boost certain things. So there's Beverly Crusher, and she would allow for medical biology, exobiology for certain missions.
Bringing it back around again to aliens, are there alien ships you can get to?
Yes, actually. Here we go. You notice when I showed you, and unfortunately, this is more of a visual thing that I'm showing here. So if you're listening to the audio, you're not quite getting everything. But like for the Federation cards for ships, they're typically blue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a neutral race that is not Klingon or anything else. So this is the Husnok ship, and that has a different range and point value that allows different things.
Well, what are they called again?
The Husnok.
Bless you.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
Let's see. And they had things called interrupts, so certain things could happen, like interrupt, temporal rift, time displacement caused by ultra-high energy explosions, such as that which affected the USS Enterprise C, at Narenda 3.
Narenda 3, yeah.
Play on any ship. Ship disappears and must reappear here after two of your full turns. Discard interrupt after reappearance. So you could cause ships to come out of play and be able to do different things and attack and so on and so forth.
You know,
you had dilemmas, which were like different missions or different things that...
Oh, those are the people that... The beings that killed Tasha Yar.
Yes. The Skin of Evil.
Yes.
But they have... Oh, yeah. The... Does that look familiar, Dave?
I can't quite see it. What am I looking at there?
What is it? The planet Ryza? The...
Oh! The pleasure planet.
The Horgan?
The stone, right? the stone that yeah, they... If you want a little action, you put out the stone?
Yeah. If you wanted that, you put that out.
Yep. No, it sounds exciting. I never played Magic the Gathering. I never played any kind of game like that, but it sounds like fun. I would do it now if I could.
The interesting thing about, and you can't really find this game anymore. They don't make it. They lost their licensing after they really didn't make much money on it. It didn't really catch on. But they did offer, and you could purchase this manual, which I have in my hand, which kind of went over the core cards, the basic cards that you could get, and how the cards were used, how to play the game. But it was just very odd that they needed a whole book to do it. The game isn't overly complicated, but the book really kind of supplemented how to do this. And the book was $15.
Okay. So you could play it without the book if you really wanted to.
If you really wanted to. But if you wanted to get a better understanding of what the game was about, what the different cards that you could possibly get by buying individual packs to supplement your decks. And you built different decks based around certain events and ships and crew members to try to get the most out of a deck of cards. Yes. There's a lot of strategy and some math involved in these games. But no, this was sadly a short-lived Star Trek Next Generation based card game that was actually interesting, and I used to play this quite a bit at a local hobby shop in Wausau.
Cool. Sounds like fun. Little young Brad playing card games. Must have been a sight to behold.
I was 25.
Oh, okay.
1994. This first came out. Yeah. I was 25.
Okay.
At the time, I actually started playing 26.
Yeah, we're almost the same age. I forget. I always forget that.
You keep forgetting.
Okay. It's a mental block.
Curse you, Dave Nelson.
All right. You know what?
Do I have to take you out for a whooping there, Mr. Nelson?
I'll take you out behind the woodshed, make you pick a switch.
Just for that.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it, Moines. Don't laugh too much. I got something on you, too.
I have to go pee a lot.
It's because I drink a lot of water. Yeah.
Living in Texas, you really need to.
Well, living anywhere in the world right now, you need to drink a lot of water. It's hot. Yeah. It's a hot, hot planet right now.
Unless you live in the southern hemisphere, it's probably still kind of cool.
Yeah. Good point. All right, that's going to do it for this show, this podcast, this program where we talk about aliens. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, you can subscribe. That's very easy. Just go to galacticnetcasts.com/contact subscribe, or just you can find us on iTunes, you can find us on Stitcher, Google Galactic Netcasts or The Alien Invasion, and you'll find us. Also, please leave us feedback. The voicemail number again is 805-328-3966. If you call, we'll put you on a show. You can leave us a email. That's what it's called. Most people call that. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. I had a long day, folks. Okay? Just give me a break.
Haven't we all?
And that's going to do it. That's going to... you guys... How do we usually end this?
Final thoughts, guys?
Final thoughts. Thank you. God. Okay. Who goes first usually? Anessa, you go first? Or no, Brad goes first usually.
I'm very sad that I have to actually... I was supposed to take a trip to Fargo for work, and I was looking forward to seeing The World's End in Fargo, but it looks like I'm not going now. And... going to have to actually go on a road trip to Sheboygan, and I know it's playing in Appleton for sure, so I might have to road trip to another part of the great state of Wisconsin to see The World's End, and I think that's crap.
Yeah.
It's getting such rave reviews that it should be out in more theaters, damn it.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it this weekend.
I did enjoy it.
Oh, I was going to ask you, Anessa, if you saw it.
I did. I saw it, and I really debated about whether I should use it in this show. We're time traveling robots in space. That, and I figured I'd wait till more people actually saw it so that I could have a conversation with them
okay,
as well.
Okay, so it's not a pick for Tris yet. It's not a time traveling robot.
Probably
in space?
Not, unless okay. Paul has seen it.
Okay.
I actually right. don't have a pick for Tris yet.
Okay. All right.
But no, I really enjoyed it. There was one thing at the very end that kind of bugged me a little bit. But overall, I really enjoyed the movie. So
it's in the spirit of all the other two of the other two movies. It's pretty much. It feels like Hot Fuzz. It feels like Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Has that vibe to it? I almost did jazz hands.
I know. It was like just gonna wave, but not quite do the jazz hands.
Oh. All right. What's your final thought, Anessa? Was that your final thought?
Yes.
No,
sure,
no,
why not?
No. I was asking Anessa if that was your final thought.
Oh. Brad,
we're done with you, Brad. Just be quiet.
I get that a lot.
I'm not done with you.
Yay!
Oh yeah.
I want to go to the Southern Hemisphere.
That's your final thought?
Yes.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody, and we hope you enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.